Hey everyone, we are at the end of the season and you can hear it in this episode, and I'm sorry. It's still good, it's still funny, it's still enjoyable, but Matt and I are like crawling. We're pulling ourselves along here. You know, it's a cat movie and we need a nap, so it's appropriate. Anyway, so we wanted to thank you, of course, for season 9. You have made us who we are and you have been the reason we keep doing this nonsense. So thanks. We'll start with some summer fun next week. But in the meantime, keep sharing, keep reporting, keep reviewing, and doing all those things you do to make sure that we keep being on the charts. Thanks, everyone. Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we visit a movie that was stuck to the back of your windshield with suction cups. We watched Garfield, and I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, and on panel we've got...
author Matthew W. Quinn, who really, really wants Wendy's for some reason.
So, Matt, did you read these books?
I might have read the newspaper comic, but what I really remember is the cartoon. Because I remember, isn't Garfield Normal a girl?
And Friends. I think in the comic... technically he's a boy, but in the cartoon I think Normal's a girl and Arlene is a girl, but otherwise it's a very sausage festy cartoon. Were you a Garfield fan?
Not really. I mean, I did watch the Garfield cartoon, but And I probably read the comics when it was in the paper, but that was not the one I was most interested in. The one I loved the most was Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, God, yes. Bill Watterson has shown up in the last 10 years in Pearls Before Swine, but I believe he has a comic coming out this year.
Yeah, it's real dark and spooky looking.
It does. Watterson was a genius. And again, I'm not contradicting you. I was a Watterson fan myself. But my two favorite in this era were Bill Amend and his Foxtrot.
Mm-hmm. I did read Foxtrot.
And Farsight. I love Gary Larson's Farsight. But I will say, I believe Jim Davis's Garfield was not only my favorite Saturday morning cartoon, and we've done some of those in class, including U.S. Acres. But like... that was one of the first books from Book Fair. I think I got a Bill Amend book. It was the Robots from Space One, Take Us to Your Mall from Foxtrot. And this, I believe, I own any number of Garfield books. And I love Garfield books. And, you know, I've had a stressful couple weeks here. So I've been reading old cartoon books as a way to fall asleep. And God help me, I love... you know, newspaper comics. It's an art.
They
it's
even
art.
Have newspaper comics anymore.
They do. But as a newspaper man, I wouldn't expect you to know that. Pearls Before Swine is my favorite. Stephen Pastis is a golden god among men. Jim Davis still exists, of course. But Gary Trudeau in Doonesbury was one of my early favorites as well. And God help me. I have entire bookshelves of this stuff. But I think Pearls Before Swine and Bill Amend are the two that are still going. So Matt, let's just talk about the cartoon for the next 2 hours. That cartoon, the Christmas episode where Garfield is with the grandma, breaks my heart every time.
Yeah, I think I might have seen a bit of that a long time ago, but I don't remember it very well. Like he finds all her love letters or something.
Yeah. Your autobiography, what do you call? I think I saw a bit of that. But yeah, the Saturday morning cartoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Garfield
and Friends.
We're here to party. And the guy who's, I believe his name is Lorenzo Music, was doing a Bill Murray voice, and God help us if Bill Murray didn't show up for this, albeit not willingly. I don't know if you saw the story about this.
Didn't he think it was the Coen brothers?
Yeah, the director's last name is Coen, but he forgot that, you know, God's chosen people. There were more than one Coen in this universe. And Ethan Coen is not the same as Ethan Coen's. So he ended up being there. And if you don't know Bill Murray, Bill Murray is comedy's savant in America right now. And unfortunately for, I guess, him and us and all of us, he just has a 1-800 number. And people can call in and request him to do projects. And he either calls you back and does the project or not. And the Coen brothers and Wes Anderson, of course, have saved his career. Specifically the Wes Anderson. If you have not seen Rushmore or The Royal Tenenbaums or The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Don't put that gun at him. He's an unpaid intern.
They're masterpieces, which of course Bill Murray has showed up in. And Bill is just like, you know what? I'm going to do what I want, which is fine. But every so often you end up in Garfield.
This movie was kind of stupid, but I actually enjoyed it.
I have two children. This is a perfect movie for children.
Did your two children like it?
One and a half of them did. I mean, because the problem is it's got a dialogue system that requires you to be at least early to mid elementary school. And I mean, we can talk about this. Matt, do you want to give the plot or do you want me to?
Okay, well, I'll summarize this movie as a narcissistic cat and a stupid dog help the owner escape the friend zone with lots of product placements. Well, I actually found a product placement webpage, and there are so many product placements in this movie, and I put it out on Twitter, and the product placement website where I found it retweeted it.
Good. That's what you call press for our show.
Because there's just that Wendy's, so much Wendy's.
Everything. ESPN. Like, at one point, Garfield is like, you know what? Walking is hard. Let me watch ESPN and eat snacks. And he eats snacks. And we not only see how do I put this? Matt, I had watched this movie before, but then we decided to do this. And again, for those of you keeping score at home, which is exactly one of you, we recorded this. We lost this episode. It's my fault and Google Drive's fault. So we recorded it. And Matt re-watched it before I did. It happens.
Such is my dedication.
He is the one soldier I will send to the breach first. If only he is like my handsome doppelganger. I don't even know.
Slightly shorter and no beard.
My Republican doppelganger. But he was messaging me stuff as we did it, which is fine. It just happens. He was ahead of me. And so when he did that, I noticed it so much more. Like, there was a scene where John and
Liz is the veterinarian.
Liz were cuddling on the couch and watching TV. And, you know, you could have done anything. They're watching TV. You could have had a bowl of popcorn. You know what popcorn has? No corporate logos. But instead, it was a corporate brand.
Feeding her goldfish.
Right. And you're just like, we've all been there in a romantic embrace, feeding each other goldfish. Like, you know, again, if it was a decade earlier, it'd been like, my beautiful love. You know how you're like a sexy woman and I'm a loser? What if I gave you a Teddy Graham? It's Armageddon, where he's like doing like animal cracker lingus on her.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. This is the PG version.
Yeah, no. In Armageddon, they had Dunkaroos, but a whole different context. A classic Nick joke about. So the whole thrust of this episode is Garfield is fat. Did you know that cats can be fat and like lasagna? And
the one thing that bothers me about all of this is, God help me, this is the cast of losers. And I love almost like everyone in this cast. Do you like this show? Do you like this cast?
Well, I think the cast is good. You know, the two leads are kind of adorable. And Happy Chapman is an asshole. Who played Happy Chapman again?
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah, I knew it was a long name.
Yeah, Tobolowsky is one of my favorite. So John Arbuckle is played by Brecken Meyer. Jennifer Love Hewitt plays Liz. And Tobolowsky, of course, plays Happy Chapman. I mentioned that. And Bill Murray plays Garfield. And again, like, our film nerd friends, you're there. Look it up. Like, it's hard not to like Stephen Tobolowsky. Like, Happy Chapman is an asshole in this, but he's in a million things. He's charming. Like, he's been in Bill Murray with stuff. He's in Groundhog's Day. Like, he's good. And Brecken Meyers, to me, is the boy who could. Like, he's Harry Plopper, not Harry Potter. Like, he's always close to the action. He's always funny. He's always charming. I just wish he could be in more. Because here, playing John Arbuckle, he's fine. They just don't give him much to do. He's a loser. Like, in an 80s movie, like, he's a loser. Like, and Jennifer Love Hewitt, of course, other than having, like, God, she was in a show in the 90s where she just, like, her definition was having boobs. But, like, she's fine in this. It's just, how do I say this? Everything in this movie is practical effects except for Garfield. And it's just like, what if there was a Muppet running through the movie, but shitty? Because it sucks, right?
Hmm.
You don't like Garfield? You like Garfield.
I didn't really have a problem with Garfield being a CGI creature. And a lot of the other animals seem like they were CGI to some degree, because if they're real animals, they made them talk.
Well, right, but he's the only one that's full CGI. That's what bothered me. Okay, so the basic plot of this is John is a loser, and he's in love with Liz, the veterinarian.
Who apparently was in love with him, too, but no one actually had the confidence to do anything. It's actually kind of sad.
Well, and they've known each other since high school, and Brecken Meyer must be, this movie came out, what, in like early
2004.
So he's 35-ish, mid-30s. And so he's like, I'm single, and I have this cat named Garfield who hates Mondays. We're introduced to him on a Monday. And I just wish I could fall in love with this girl who I've loved since high school. God help me. And that's kind of the first 5 minutes. The difference is Liz is kind of in love with him. I don't know what it is. And then she's like, I want to ask you something. And he's like, I wanted to ask you it too. And he wants to ask her out, which, by the way, I don't know exactly when it happened, but it's in the mid-2000s. John and Liz are in like dating in the comics now.
After about 20 plus years of her not being interested, he finally managed it.
But, like, that's kind of the plot here. But here's the thing. She wants him to adopt Odie.
Yeah, because that's how it starts out. Like, he's like, she's like, I want to ask you something. He's like, oh, I want to ask you something, too. And cut to him taking home a dog.
But here's the thing. Odie, I believe it's a Rottweiler.
No, there is a Rottweiler named Luca, but Odie is some sort of terrier.
No. Odie's a terrier. The Rottweiler, Luca. The other cats, they're all real animals. Garfield is 100% CGI this whole time, and it's weird.
I think you must be more sensitive to this sort of thing, because in Shrek 2, you were horrified by the donkey dragons, and I was like, whatever.
Well, yeah, but at least the donkey dragons were in a all CGI world. It's just weird here because there's actually there's like 200 animals because of the mice and the rats. But here, at least the bigger mammals are all real and they just CGI their mouths so they move. And Garfield is just weirdly a cartoon.
Yeah, as I said, he's like a cartoon character.
It just doesn't look right.
Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Anyway, so the rest of this plot is based around Happy.
Yeah, he's the host. I think this is in my Twitter rant at Matthew W. Quinn. I said that this is Chicago. Actually, as I'm looking, this is actually Muncie, Indiana. So,
Davis lives.
Yeah, Happy Chapman is the host of like Good Morning Muncie or whatever, and he has this like cat in like a German costume that they have this like double act, and he's allergic to cats, and he hates his job and hates his more successful brother,
who's a local reporter,
he's like on Good Morning America or some version of that,
right?
And so. John and Liz go on a succession of what are obvious to everyone except him are dates, in this case, taking Odie to the dog show, where Odie has been taught to dance by Garfield to a hip-hop song from that time period.
And Happy wants to leave Good Morning Muncie and go to Good Morning America, and no one cares about cat shows anymore, which sounds vaguely pornographic. And they want to instead see dog shows, which is whatever.
So he basically is plotting to steal Odie, and Garfield is having territory issues, is planning to get rid of Odie.
Right.
And they kind of intersect, and Garfield now has to rescue Odie.
Right, because the whole idea is that you can let cats out at night because cats are so dumb they can't leave the area. But dogs will wander off, I think.
Or at least, you know, cats are smart enough not to leave the house. Dogs are not. So the point is, Odie, he goes chasing after a hot dog truck or something because Garfield locks him out of the house. And this old lady finds him, and Happy Chapman figures out she's got him and pretends that Odie is his dog. Right. And he's going to put a shock collar on him and make him do tricks because he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, and the whole plot of this movie is based around the idea that, I don't know.
That basically everyone is guilt, not all the other pets have guilt tripped Garfield into setting off to rescue Odie.
Because so you can't let dogs out at night, but you can leave cats out at night because cats come home and dogs run off.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so Garfield, in spite of himself, has to become a hero.
We need a hero.
Are we holding out for a hero?
And the thing is, Garfield walks 2 blocks, gets tired, goes home, and has a snack. And yet this is another corporate nonsense, or that this is where they're watching ESPN, right?
Yeah, ESPN, Wendy's, Petco. So many product placements. I think that's how he eventually infiltrates the big... I think he gets in a Petco truck to take him to the bus station, to get on a Greyhound bus to take him to downtown Muncie.
Muncie, Indiana. The Music Man.
Yeah. M, and it rhymes with REM, and it stands for Muncie.
Sure, man. Not Indiana, Indiana. There's a song about Indiana, and that's a very strange musical. Anyway, the whole time, Garfield is trying to rescue Odie, which is not going great because he's too fat and lazy, which we've all been there. And he's trying to get to the big broadcasting tower downtown, but instead, Stephen Tobolowsky is trying to get to New York City And
this movie had been sponsored by Amtrak.
That's right. I just wish Amtrak mattered.
Me too.
And so, as they're trekking towards New York City, then what? I mean, Garfield is doing all sorts of crazy things.
Well, earlier in the movie, they pull a scam on John where he pretends to eat a mouse that's gotten into the house and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And the mouse repays him because when Garfield gets to the big city, a whole bunch of mice are going to eat him. And the mouse, you know, gets them to back off. And then there's a whole rap number about the po-po and the 5-0. You're laughing. You're laughing. I can see it.
Oh, I here's the thing. As far as humor goes, this is like halfway between Dad for Noon and like kids stuff. And every so often it like leaks through. Like, this is a movie that if it appeared on like TBS when we were kids, like grampy dad, uncle, whatever would walk through and go, and then keep walking. Like, this is not something you'd stick your ride to, but you'd be like, all right, this isn't too bad. And again, part of it is just Breckin Meyer is charming in this, and Bill Murray being Garfield being like, huh. And it's just, to me, it's like a Twilight Zone episode where Lorenzo Music was doing a Bill Murray impression on that cartoon when we were kids. And so Bill Murray's here, even if he was like tricked into doing it, like it's a Magic Eye poster. I don't know like how to describe it, but it's just, he's pretty good in this. And if you get Bill Murray, I guess you just get charm and someone who will eat your French fries for you. And like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, and so then, yeah, so after the rap number with the mice, he does like a Mission Impossible entrance into the air duct system, which they think he's an obstruction, so they turn the fan on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's unable to rescue Odie and somehow falls out of a building into a delivery truck, which I call the last temptation of Garfield, because the delivery truck full of lasagna. So is he going to eat himself to death or save Odie? Instead, the Po-Po, the 5-0 animal control, finds him and takes him to the pound where they make a bunch of jokes about how his catnip was his other fur or something. His license was another fur. The catnip was previous episode Shrek 2. And that's when we meet, that's where he's singing spirituals. And he meets Happy Chapman's cat, who's been put up for adoption, Persnickety.
Which is like Sir something.
Yeah, Sir something that starts with R. Roland.
Oh, right. The old epic legend.
Yeah.
And so Roland's about to be adopted. And Roland hits the trigger, I guess, to release all the other pets.
Yeah, and they proceed to swarm out of the animal control office just when Happy Chapman and his little brown noser minion are getting on the Amtrak train. And so Garfield almost causes 9/11.
He does. A train 11 happens.
Because he just climbs onto the control panel and starts jacking around all the switches.
He does.
And a bunch of trains nearly collide. Meanwhile, John and Liz are getting into the Amtrak station and saying, well, we can't stop the train because they figured out that Happy Chapman has stolen Odie.
Yeah. Meanwhile, after train 11, and I don't know if the CGI is ever truly successful, but this part of it's pretty good. Right. And so, like you said, John and Liz are running to the station. They think Happy Chapman has kidnapped both Odie and Garfield. Odie is got the shock collar on. He's slipping around. Garfield is redirecting the trains. And this is your, you know, satiric end of scene. Everyone shows up. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what happens in the end is, you know, Chapman jumps off the train because he realizes that they've all been stopped.
Yeah, he sees Garfield and Odie escaping, and he proceeds to get into a fight with the train attendants and get off the train and chase after them into the luggage bin or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's essentially looks like the back room of a like an airport luggage container system, which I don't know. Like, I've been on trains a lot. I studied in Europe and I've been around. I don't know if they have these for American train systems, but it's like a luggage exchange, like you would have at a luggage collection in an airport, right?
It seems like it's part of the station, not part of the train.
Well, right, but that's what it is. You're getting people on and off the train, so you get their luggage on and off the train this way. I've been on a lot of trains in my life, but generally you store your own luggage on a train, right?
Yeah, I haven't been on Amtrak since I was in middle school. Yeah, were you ever on the Slidell or the Virginia train trips, the scout troop?
We went to New Orleans.
So that was the first. You were on that one.
Yeah.
Because I was on that one, then another one to Virginia.
It's good stuff.
But I don't remember it very well. Like,
I imagine you were asleep a lot of it.
I don't remember.
You had a seizure. I don't know what that wink was.
Well, I don't remember where my luggage went.
I imagine it was above.
Yeah. Yeah, but in any event, all the animals show up, and Garfield does, you know, friends, canines, vermines, and Happy Chapman gets basically the Scar ending from the first Lion King, where the animals swarm him, and you just see the shadows.
I will say, though, the best part of it is, like you mentioned very early, he has a brother who's part of the local press. And as the anchor man for the Muncie, I almost said PD, but like Muncie in the morning, he's like, it appears that someone has been arrested. Wait, that looks like my brother. Cut the feed.
It's like, that's my idiot brother. And then they talk about Garfield being a heroic cat. So did they pin this whole thing on
no such thing
on Happy Chapman? You know, that, you know. Did they start waterboarding him?
They should.
To, you know, make him confess to, you know, causing a train accident?
I'd say catboarding, but that sounds like something you'd have to pay extra for. To...
Instead of dry needling, catboarding, they just put the cat on you.
Oh, my sweet summer child. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a very strange ending.
Yeah, and eventually make it back to John's house, and John almost friend zones himself because he apparently can't figure out that he and Liz have been running around together for the last couple weeks, one point even holding hands. Like, Liz, you're a good friend. And she's finally like, I want to be more than friends. He's like, finally he gets it.
God help me.
And that, and circling back, that's how it ends with them watching some old movie, and he's feeding her goldfish, and Garfield just keeps shoving Odie off the chair. And Odie, having IQ of like 5, keeps climbing back up on it with him.
Well, that's the dog thing, man. Dogs care, cats don't. Anyway, as a man who has pets, they do a good job here. It's just the CGI is nonsense. Matt, what do you think?
I think this movie is kind of dumb, but I didn't think it was funny, and luckily it's relatively short. I think it's 1:20.
Something like that, yeah. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, this movie is, like Matt said, it's a kid's movie. I think the whole thing would have been better suited for animation. It's just, it's weird that the only CGI object is Garfield. Odie is real, Nermal is real, Arlene is real, like other animals are real. Sir Kensington slash Pinker Persnickety is real. It's just weird that there's exactly one pet that's CGI in this Garfield. If that's the case, make it more of a cartoon or don't do it. Make it all real action or make the whole movie animation. It's just very strange that, like, because, like, at one point there's this one, I think it's a Rottweiler, but it's voiced by Brad Garrett, and Garfield tricks it. And all of that is a fine joke. It's just weird that there's a real dog, and then Garfield is a cartoon. I don't know what to say. Like, it's just very strange, right? Matt doesn't care. It's like if you have a live action movie or a book or something, and there's like dirigibles for no reason. It just feels fake. I'm
giving you the finger, Nick.
I know.
Check out my book, Battle for the Wastelands. It has dirigibles on the cover.
And the sequel.
Serpent Sword, which also has dirigibles on the cover.
And then the sequel to that.
We'll see when that happens.
So if you want to see dirigibles on the cover. No, just to me, this movie feels like it's a mess, and I wish you could pick a tone, but it's fine. I don't hate it. It's just weird. Anyway, congratulations. You made it to the end of another Myopia season. I hope you liked it. We enjoyed it. We're here.
And we like reviews.
We like reviews. We like you sharing us. And since this is the end of the season, I just want to say that means that season 10 is next. We've done this a long time, and we do it because you guys listen. So if you like what we do, share us. That's it, Matt.
Yeah, share us. A lot.
Thanks for doing what you do. And we don't know when the end of the show is coming, but we do it because you do it and you share us and you do what we do. So keep reviewing, keep sharing, keep telling us what you want us to cover, because we want to keep doing this show forever. And so thanks. Bye, guys.
Season 9 of Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and stars Daniel Suttis and Matt Quinn. The theme music is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod of Incomtech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and review us wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, guys.